You are listening to The Weekly Geekly.
I don't know. The Weekly Geekly is pretty cool.
The Mars Counterculture Podcast.
The Weekly Geekly is sponsored by Voodoo's Odd Shop, Omaha's spookiest curiosity shop, located at 1323 Martha Street behind the Admiral.
For all your creepy collectibles and rare oddities, check out Voodoo's Odd Shop, a proud supporter of the Weekly Geekly.
That is Odd Shop.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. You are listening to another edition of the only podcast that, you know, admittedly doesn't know what it's doing sometimes. We like to wax professional because we like to be professional, all right? We like to put on the big boy pants, but sometimes you just go with it. And the Geekly is happy to say that we have two really fun topics today. As always, I'm the weirdo with a beardo, Lucian, sitting to my left on his phone eating a cheeseburger, so I can say he's not a robot, Mr. Zach. How you doing?
Biofuel.
Dustin in the corner, giggling up like a goddamn hyena.
I do.
Our gaming expert.
How do you do?
Mr. Brandon, the intern, say something to the people.
Hello, everybody.
Good evening.
What the
all.
Fuck happened to you, Brandon?
I went through puberty.
All right, Brandon has now become a man, and so have I, apparently. Huh.
What's going on? How you doing, buddy?
I'm all right. I've had a long-ass week, to be honest with you. Life has been hectic. I'm getting ready for Grand Fest, which is now formerly Grand Con with Zach here. Yeah.
We're doing
that.
What weekend is
that? That's the 26th and the 27th we'll be there.
Fuck, I might be able to make it out still. Nice. If y'all are going to be there. Okay. I just can't promise or guarantee, and if I just sleep in the car...
Yeah. No, well, we have hotel room, so you can sleep. You know, we'll stock up German style.
Can I put my tent in?
Feet to head.
Can I pitch a tent in your room?
Can I put my tent in your fucking room? Yeah, you could do that. We'll get weird. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to Grand Con. If you guys don't know what Grand Con is, it's a grassroots comic book convention that features some pretty amazing creators and pretty talented podcasters and artists. They have fun panels. We'll be hosting a panel this year on podcast creation. Mm-hmm. So come out if you're in the Nebraska area and just say hey to us. Maybe we could record an episode together or just exchange information.
Just
be
a
fun.
Quick shout out because I'm proud of the man. Thoughts and Shots podcast.
Yeah,
as well.
They'll be there, so Devin. We'll go RPGs. Yeah.
And mainly because he is live on twitch.tv.
Oh,
right now,
shit.
Thoughts and Shots podcast.
Hell
so
yeah.
If you haven't already gave him a follow, please go give him a follow. He's building his channel just like we did, so I thought I'd give him the love there because most all of you, as soon as I keep mentioning it, I keep getting more followers.
Ah.
So... we'll do the plugs later. But
yeah.
Just noticed right now, I got a little on my phone.
So,
look at Devin go.
I've been getting ready for that. I've been working on the radio station here in town, 89.7 The River, which has been really fun. I've been learning a lot, but I've been getting up at 4 a.m. Monday through Friday.
You guys have absolutely taken this thing full force. Cause after COVID, not to get too local, but... big changes at the radio station, and it's something that everyone notices because there's only in every city a few radio stations that really matter. No matter what city you're in, obviously if you're in LA, you got six drive time radio stations all with millions of listeners.
Right.
But you know, in most markets, there's 2-3 that matter, and here in Omaha, there's as far as rock music and younger people go,
there's
two.
Yeah, and we're one of them.
Yeah,
which
you're a
is
major
really
one.
Cool. So
you're the one that
fun.
Brings all the big concerts.
It's
here.
Fun to just be there in the mornings and get to share my opinion and play stupid games and say fucked up fun things. You know, so I'm doing that, and then this obviously has been a concern of mine. I feel like I've been slacking, honestly, which I think happens. I think that's natural as a creator, though. I don't think I've been slacking. I think I've
Good.
Been. In
Get
this
better.
Creative rut that I've slowly started coming out of. And I'm more motivated now than I have been in the last month or so. So I'm excited to get back into things. I'm happy we have a couple topics tonight.
Yeah.
I know, Zach, you had something to talk about. It's a video game. I know nothing about it. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to hear about this. What is it?
The sequel to Horizon Zero Dawn.
Okay. Dropped. I've heard of that one. It's the ginger girl with the arrows,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that, am I nailing it?
Mm-hmm.
Aioli, yes.
Okay, her name's Aioli?
No.
What is the setting here?
We're just
going to
call her
Aioli. Do you fight things? Is it a puzzle game?
So the premise of the original game was that you drop into the game as this young woman that is, they give you a primitive setting, right?
dinosaurs and shit.
Well, it's very like tribal spears, bows. You go hunting, and then all of a sudden, like, they just drop in robot animals for reason.
Okay, okay.
And so you spend a good portion of the game kind of trying to figure out why the fuck robot animals.
Yeah.
Because there's also real, like, living animals that you can, like, hunt.
So it's not like they're the only animals. No, yeah. And you're trying to figure out why robot animals.
From what I understand, it was a post-apocalyptic wasteland of the American West.
So, cool. Yeah, so okay. you find out through the course of the game, the first one, that and you're essentially playing in what is more or less Colorado, Wyoming, and a little bit of, like, Arizona, kind of.
Okay.
And the world was essentially drained of all life because some genius thought it would be a good idea to make robots that run on biofuel. And then those robots went haywire and consumed all possible biofuel on the planet, killing off all life.
So you're like the only person?
No.
You're one of a couple people.
So you find out that as a last ditch effort at survival, all living humans essentially died, but created these vault systems, kind of like Fallout-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you know, people living in the vaults for generations, they automated the whole process and essentially, like, did in vitro fertilization, had a bunch of, you know, like, genetic material and made new humans. And
they matrixed themselves.
And so, like, as these new humans grow...
So
they created new social structures, like new tribes.
Are you one of them new humans?
Yeah, I mean, you're just a human.
That's cool.
I mean, there's a little bit more nuance and stuff to it, but yeah.
That's cool.
That's a pretty solid synopsis of the plot.
Where's the sequel pick up at?
So,
and what's cool about the sequel?
By the end of the first game, you find out that one of the big problems that's happening around your little world there is that machines are going kind of nuck and futz. There's this weird new tribe of people that no one's ever seen before. And we're talking like people have been doing this. People have been like, there's a fully realized and like fleshed out cultural, like many different cultures. There's like cities, empires have risen and fallen, that kind of stuff. So it's been a while.
Cool.
And there's this like brand new tribe that comes out of nowhere that controls robots. Not just like new robots, but like the old robots.
How do they control robots though? Is it like a psychic thing?
No, you find out.
Like a superpower?
No, it's just like coding.
Oh, okay. Well, that's lame.
Very practical, but.
And you find out one of the AI systems that's supposed to be in charge of like re-terraforming and repopulating the Earth went rogue for big cloud reasons. You defeat that AI, you stop the AI, and a second game picks up where you're trying to find the Big Mama Jamma AI that's in charge of like the whole shebang of terraforming and everything.
Okay.
And rebooting her so that, you know, the planet can, because you defeat this like bad AI that's trying to kill people, but the planet is still kind of, the terraforming process stopped.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's still slowly dying. And so you're trying to reboot it. And you find out more details about all of the, AI went rogue and all this other stuff.
Yeah. Apt and relatively spoiler free.
Hmm.
Nice.
Hmm.
So questions I have in general to get a little bit more of the nerd stuff.
Yeah.
So I mean that's a really good synopsis of the plot. It's an open world game, meaning that you, by default, are there RPG style? Okay, because there's certain things that are like. Yeah. There are skill trees, that kind of thing.
Sorry, I'm eating your burger. You left it out. It's mine.
Critical papers.
That's fine. You guys are allowed to live.
I did that. Sorry. Okay, continue.
Now, because there's many open world doesn't mean dick shit really anymore because there are so many different facets of that.
Right.
It literally just means you don't have to follow a linear pattern.
Right.
But like for example, technically, as is, again every podcast, like Hitman is an open world game, but not really.
Right.
Because like there's missions and you're in a confined space, there's a goal, there's a path, you just however you want to do that, that's fine, but it's a sandbox is what they call it because it's like an open area where there's defined walls and this is where the fun happens. This is something much like a like everything gets compared to Breath of the Wild because it's a pinnacle game of its peak and it's been around as a series for 20-30 years now. Are there more like RPG in Zelda in general? Like, are there more RPG elements to this, a la God of War, Ghost of Tsushima, where you have like skill tree?
It's much closer to Ghost of Tsushima, where you have a skill tree.
Okay.
And it is open world. They don't try to like revolutionize the concept.
I guess I should put it this way.
But they execute it well.
Okay, that's a good answer because in Ghost of Tsushima, for example, you eventually, no matter how you want to play, you get enough credits, just for layman's terms, to unlock every ability.
Yeah.
If you play long enough, you get there.
Yeah.
But in a God of War or a any other game of like that, for example, if you guys haven't played it, you can never get enough money to actually buy everything, and that's the point. So I guess my question is it something that – are you looking to round out that character because you need every skill set, more a la Breath of the Wild, meaning I need all of this to actually beat the final boss?
Yeah.
Or is it more like God of War where it's like, I mean, I'd like to be a little more defensive. I don't mind playing the long game blocking and countering as opposed to being more attack-based.
I believe so. I haven't finished the sequel. I've gotten. I believe
right, and that's fair because I mean, like, it's a long game.
I've put
if you want it to
you be. Know a dozen hours or so into it, and I think I have gotten to. Games are doing this thing now, and it's like a love hate. I have a love hate relationship to it. Where the tutorial is like the first fucking 2 hours of the game or something like that.
Yeah.
And I have reached a point in the sequel where it like really opens up. You get like a base of operations,
okay.
Which doesn't, as far as I can tell, which doesn't like really fundamentally change much. It just adds a different location, and it's more narrative. Like it's more
just a layer of depth.
For it's kind
of
like Valhalla did that in Red Dead. You'll have like an
they did
like a place you could change where you put it. Kind of.
Well. You can't change it, but it's the same concept. You have
that's
like,
cool, though.
Like a home.
That's cool.
And I mean, it's all part of the whole series is written well, and it's written thoughtfully. They thought about everything. Having a home base plays into the narrative of this character's development. She like grew up an outcast and a loner and a nomad. So the first game, you running around, is its own thing. It's a function of playing the game. And then in the second game, they're kind of leaning into the whole, like, you really should... I'm kind of intrigued that at this point they haven't. Go ahead and...
I need it from you.
Grip it and rip it.
He's with it.
I'm kind of surprised that they haven't fully gone in and just given you, like, AI companion people. Because they're really talking about how, like, you could go do all this alone like you did in the first game, but you shouldn't.
Okay.
I mean, you don't have an option. You have to go do
it. But you do.
But they're trying to like nail down that you don't have to be a nomadic like hero savior complex anymore. You can
What's nice out of it, though, is it seems really well received because like a lot of other games, you know, I've heard the only negative reviews I've heard about it is that basically a couple of like, it's a great game. And that's why it's negative, because it's just like everything else. Like it doesn't lend itself to actually being. It feels like it's the same game reskinned with a different story.
Yeah.
But that's like saying that like I don't like. I agree with them to some degree because there are. Yeah. That's why I fell in love with Ghost of Tsushima when I brought that one up, is because it felt wildly different with the exact same concepts. It feels like holy shit, a new band. A new band that figured out how to sound different with the same fucking 26 chords.
Right.
Like, this, a lot of people, I think, and not to be devil's advocate because I haven't given it a fair chance, but I think that a lot of people are being like, this is another repackaged open world game that just allows you to build a skill tree, and then they're like, but it's so dynamic, oh, they do the boss shots. Like, yeah, so you hit weak points and you do, but like, I don't think that there's anything really wrong with that because it's something that as long as you do it effectively and you grasp people's attention.
Yeah.
It may not be the most innovative thing on the planet, but it never claimed to be. So I'm actually happy. I mean, it has an 88 score on Metacritic, a 94 overall positive rate on Google, which never fucking happens. And the game's about a month old already, so I'm sure patches are coming relatively soon. But I haven't heard about any major glitches, crashes, things that don't allow the game to have quality of life. Are you playing on a PS4?
I'm playing on a PS4.
That's even more amazing.
And I can tell you that there are a few... So I decided to get it for PS4 because, I mean, I don't seriously plan on getting a PS5. And I figured, like,
practically.
Well, the first one came out on PS4, so, and it was a beautiful game and looks amazing. That's another thing that it does really well. That
that's the biggest compliments of this thing. Like, it's all of the things are like, hey, it may be another polished up open world game, but it is polished. Like, the hair moves individually, and like her arms shake when she holds a bow if you hold it too long, and like it actually like seems to bob accurately as opposed to Resident Evil. That was like, what am I doing?
the map itself, they've done this really great job of much like Ghost of Tsushima.
Which is just a phenomenal open world game, which is really the only reason I keep coming back to it.
Like
The Witcher, another phenomenal.
The map itself, you like round corners and like come to these vistas, and it's just fucking beautiful. I love the Southwest in general, and a lot of it takes place in the Southwest. Mm-hmm. Like the sequel starts in Zion in Utah.
Oh, very
and then
cool,
so you
dude.
Like move through that Southwest with the whole goal of like kind of getting to California, getting to like the coast.
I mean, because people really like the idea of being able to traverse a map. I mean, Elden Ring just came out, and I think that's another thing that people are shying away from because of, A, just the sharp difficulty of it, but, like, and that's
get good, scrub.
That's why I stay away from it. I love nothing but difficult video games on the hardest setting, but, like, it's just a slow, jumpy, like, wildly, like, like, attack scheme that I don't dig with Elden Ring, but the idea that I have heard professional streamers, professional game players, professional reviewers be like, I am 80 hours into this bitch and I thought I would be double done and I was going to be reviewing it twice and get it. I'm not done. Like, I have not hit parts of this map. And like, some people are like, holy fuck, I would never, if a professional spending 80 hours and they're still, it's not like they've been like encompassing every corner just for the review. No, they've been playing.
Well, do you remember the days where, like, an 80-hour game, especially if it was open world, like, an 80-hour game was the bare minimum? Like, we were like, you were less than 80 hours, we'd be like, trash, get out.
Scrub.
Yeah, what a worthless game. Why did I waste my money? Siri, stop listening
Siri,
to my
what the fuck?
Siri, get good.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I was going to say,
do you know what my favorite RPG is? Open world RPG?
What?
I forget the name. Fuck, Dustin, you'll know.
Jack
Black, Heavy Metal.
Oh, yeah.
Brutal Legend.
Yeah.
That's actually a wildly good, and like it gets repetitive, but like
it's so repetitive, but it's so satisfying.
Yeah, at that
it doesn't
time,
have to be fresh.
Tell
it
me
knows
Dynasty Warriors
button
wasn't
mesh.
Fucking super repetitive.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Like, it's the content that you're there for, and not necessarily like the great gameplay.
That's another great,
like there's some
great
challenging
example.
Aspects, but like it changes from like fighting to like, okay, now it's like Warcraft, the old version, where you're like planning out armies to fight each other and
it's
shit.
Fucking
and that shit's
so much
cool.
fun.
Yeah.
That's so much fun. It gives that RPG of like a, it feels like a board game.
Yeah, it really
but
does.
But you don't have to pick up all the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a fan of games and you're a fan of like the technical proficiency in a game, you'll probably enjoy like both Horizons, the original and this sequel. Mm-hmm. They have interesting, I mean, you can get good enough to where you can like ride a robot horse, throw an exploding javelin off of that on horseback, jump midair, throw another weapon, and then land a slide and like
string combos together how you
like,
want
arrows into the belly of this like robo T-Rex. Like it gets wild.
That's crazy.
Gameplay, and it's mechanically
and that's
fun,
something that
but
I've always thought that the Far Cry series kind of lacks because their trailers are always like, you need to drink and it's Uncharted and it's, but it's also Far Cry and then like you fly over stuff, paraglide, like
after,
like, I like how that was that's,
Far
that's
Cry
because
you do but then it's pretty
shit the
fucking
bed there.
Boring like Far Cry 6 just had that one actor that came out for it, and like as I know Nathan Drake's Uncharted, but they're making like that Mark Wahlberg's in the fucking, is he supposed to be Nathan Drake in the Uncharted movie that's coming out like right now, or is that
Tom Holland is Nathan Drake, and
okay, but Mark Wahlberg's in it.
Listen, Tom Holland's just Tom Holland in whatever reason. Yeah.
Tom Holland does what he wants.
Spider-Man's the new Drake.
Yeah.
Right.
Wait.
But I.
yep. No.
All
cut
of those
that
games.
Spider-Man is the new Drake.
I don't want to ever talk shit because everybody has an like. I was never like a huge fan of any of the Assassin's Creeds, and if people are like, "What are you fucking talking about? All you do is play stealth video games and open world shit."
Yeah, the first one.
How do you
maybe
not
the second
like
one was a stealth video game, but the rest of them were.
Which
not
one was the second
games.
One? What was it called?
Just like Assassin's Creed 1 and 2, and then they had like 3 that had 2, like that big like teardrop emblem that they had, and then there was like Black Flag.
I'm thinking of Prince of Persia. Sorry.
Yeah. Which is also, I mean, just like the old school God of War, a little bit more linear, where like you follow a path of like enemies. Yeah,
still pretty sick.
Fun as fuck.
It was like the feeling of open world, but you didn't need to be open world.
Right. Someone holding your hand.
One of the great things that Horizon does in their open world execution is A, they make it visually appealing, like you want to go explore things.
I like that.
B,
that's why I play Red Dead.
There's repetitive things like go here, collect this, like
collecting berries. But what it is, you gotta do it.
Jerk off a stone demon.
Sure. There's like some functionality
to it. A side mission.
So like when you go and you like, they'll have these like robots.
Oh dear God, we're being attacked. They're coming.
They'll have these like ruins or these like herds of robots. Of robot horses or whatever. And you'll like hunt robots.
And put that in quotations?
Because it's like you're.
Are you not really hunting the robots?
It's, I mean, kind of you are, but you're just encountering batches of enemies.
Okay, yeah, sure.
But it has a function insofar as you get resources from them. So you like put that into crafting, which you put into, like buying new armor, buying new weapons, building like better versions of whatever. And so like there's a reason to go out and do these other repetitive things other than just getting the experience and like 100% completion.
Right.
It's not like the most, like I said, mind-blowing version of that, but it is useful. The biggest thing that ties all of the different parts of Horizon, both series or both games, is you bought into the aesthetic.
If you bought into
the aesthetic, then I played Breath of the Wild, and I love the running around on my little horsey, cutting up grass, and flinging freeze rocks at goblins. But
never even played Breath of the Wild that long myself.
Yeah, and I mean it's fun, but
atrocity.
So here's my
Grand Theft Auto is also fun. Same concept.
So here's the thing. I'm glad you brought that up because that's literally the last question I have for you. Because I could talk about fucking video games for 90 hours, but none of you want to do that. Come to the Twitch stream, twitch.tv. But now, one of my things, actually shout out Jakey on YouTube because he brought up something that I've been saying for fucking years. And he actually brought it up in a while back. He threw it in a YouTube video. Something that I hate from open world video games, and I get why, the simplest answer before I even pose the question is because then you wouldn't understand the story if we did it this way, is when you actually are kind of good at games or you stumble across something and you're like, oh fuck, like I remember talking to this guy, he's over here, and you go there. But Rockstar is the biggest offender of being like, ooh, you're not supposed to be here yet.
Oh yeah.
You can't talk to him yet. Go away. Yeah. And it's like, but I found my way here. Why not? Like why it, that feels now you're taking this whole I can explore and do whatever I want away.
Yeah.
Now I gotta go back to town and talk to this guy, then this guy, then this guy, then you could talk to this guy. Well, why fucking middleman it? If I found it, have him be like, hey, I got a mission for you, and be like, yo, what the fuck is he talking about? And like, if you don't understand any of it, that sounds kind of fun. Like, if he's telling me like, yeah, you got to talk to Gambino and the Fantastic Four over in the saloon, you'd be like, I haven't talked to any of these people. I'm missing something here. But that doesn't feel like I'm forced to go talk to these people.
Yeah.
It feels like, oh shit, I should go do some detective work.
Right.
That's a simple way to. Yeah. So my question is, have you run into I'm not supposed to be here yet?
Mechanically, but
because that's what God of War does, I guess, to expand it, and then I'll let you go, is God of War allows you, you can show up on an island, and you go in, you kill a couple little bosses, like, ooh, here I go, and then you show up to a guy who's like a level 12, and he just slaps you over, and you're like, oh, that's the I'm not supposed to be here yet. But if technically, if I'm skilled enough, I could beat him.
So
it just takes forever. And so instead of shutting the door, it's just like, try if you want, but it's stupid. Go figure out some other things and come
Witcher
back to
Witcher 3
zone.
Did that a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you could go anywhere. You could start anything, but, like, some things will murder you.
Right.
And those things might be right next to the tutorial mission.
Right. Like, again, Dark Souls. But, like, those are two, I think, solving the way and, like, really good open world facets of gaming is, like, if I'm not supposed to be here yet, you can still let me be here, but either, like, just don't, okay, well, don't hold my hand and treat me like a child. Right. Fucking just give me the info. And then like, oh, if I don't know how to do it, I need to go figure that out.
So,
or make it inaccessible, meaning like only if you're really good, but otherwise you better just fit. If you're really good, then you go keep going, man. You're good then. So otherwise go figure out some other skills.
There's 2.5 ways that the Horizon series kind of has done that, and that it does it specifically in Forbidden West in the sequel. Well, the first, well, three ways, because half of it is to grip it and rip it.
Yes.
Okay. And then one of the ways is mechanical barriers. There's simply things that you need to, that are like the only way to get through to an area. And 90% of those, there's things that you need to have to get through an area, like tools and abilities. Okay, and
that's
like that.
That's big Resident Evil vibes. It's like, one thing where it's like, but it's still the same thing. It's like, hey, you could open this door, but you don't have the mechanical part.
Right.
Not going to tell you where that is. Have fun.
Go find it somewhere.
That's fine. You can shut me out because that's how it keeps that storyline. Yeah. You can't reach those NPCs.
Well, and what's great is that even 90% of the time...
But don't let me find it and be like, now get out.
Come 90% of the time, those things aren't mandatory to progress. They're like little extra things.
That's nice too, actually. Because I don't mind being told you need to come back when you find something. Yeah. It's like literally like, no, I tricked you and I found it.
The other way that they do it is...
It happens in a lot of games.
Is occasionally, and it's only in like bigger transitional areas, there will be like narrative lock.
Okay.
Like you can't pass through someplace because... So the beginning area in the sequel... the gates to pass through to the next area are locked because there's these like robots that are going wild inside this range of area. And unless you go kill them all, which is part of the storyline, you can't go through the gate. Like you can't pass through there. But that's not necessarily like you have to do the story. It's no, you're in the world. And the world is in a state.
That's exactly. Actually, in fact, this passes my test. If you want to find out, it's like it allows for what the most. Because honestly, I'm in a gaming group to bring this to a head, so we can move to the next topic. I'm in a gaming group that they post something every day, just like a daily discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that was yesterday was like, to you personally, which not to other people. You don't have to defend your answer. Just to you, what video games are a masterpiece? Like 10 out of 10. Don't change a thing. And I didn't have many. And a lot of people's answers, I was like, you're an idiot. But, like, there were a lot of really good answers. There were a lot of, I mean, you could tell people's tastes. But I put in there both Super Mario Galaxy 2 and Super Mario Odyssey as, like, flawless.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I enjoyed every single second of it, but that's the yin and yang and the push and the pull. As much as people think that those are kids' games, and they are, and they can be, that's what makes them fun. Is that as an adult, if you want 100% it or actually dig deeper, you never get told you're not allowed to be here. It's just that, just like Mario 64, it's like you need 28 stars to get in this door.
Yeah.
Okay. How? That's up to you. Go fucking find out. And then it's like, ooh, a whole world to explore, things to do. Just try stuff. So throw your hat at the wall. See if it does something. Like
that's one of the things.
Exploration that allows you to feel creative, smarter than the process, and build fun.
Yeah, just that's fun. One of the things that the Horizon series does with their enemies. The enemies don't scale with you.
That's nice.
That's actually nice. When you see the giant Robo T-Rex off in the distance, if you are like at the beginning of your playthrough and you run up to that Robo T-Rex, you could, in theory, kill that T-Rex. But if you wait a while and upgrade some of your gear and get some new skills, that'll be a lot easier.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what I'm looking for. You're like in tier.
I'll give it a try.
It's a challenge, but it's doable.
I wasn't gonna play this game only because, again, it wasn't to be like the sour grape on the Metacritic.
It's a heavy aesthetic. The majority of its enjoyment comes out of you enjoy the aesthetic.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, if you're down with the vibe,
mechanical execution of being immersed in that aesthetic. So
I could dig it. I might actually. I wasn't gonna give it a shot only because there's so many games and so many things to do, just like any other form of media. Yeah. That I was like, I don't know. I haven't played the first one.
The first one is worth it.
So, like, but
it's still a very solid game.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that retroactively went and played The Last of Us like way late, just after mm-hmm. the hype of the second one came back, just to get it done. I was like, all right, I missed out a little bit just because it wasn't the thing that grabbed me originally. And I liked other stuff, and I did miss out. So, I'm gonna go because of you. I'm gonna probably end up going back and playing the first one and get this shot. The second one, I shot because like of 3 years.
You did this.
Yeah, but again, I could talk about video games for 28 hours straight. Twitch.tv/
Forbidden West. Good.
Oh my god! Sorry, shameless with the plugs.
I do want to get into the one drawback. If you're playing on the PS4, I mean, there's a number of nitpicky little drawbacks that's gonna fall ultimately to like personal preference. If you're playing on the PS4, I have noticed that there are some odd graphical things, like the lighting when cameras. Camera angles move around. It's kind of weird.
Super dynamic.
You're a piggy bitch.
Yeah. What are they trying to like super dynamic thing where it's like really dark then really light?
Sometimes, and it doesn't necessarily like the lighting environment won't change. You'll just change the camera angle and it'll kind of be weird.
Wonky.
And a lot of texture mapping. If you're like really swinging cameras around and bringing new objects into the field of view.
The textures drop a bit.
Sometimes the textures won't pop in.
Well, this game was flawless on PS5, they say, but it's stronger.
Of them, like 85% of the textures will pop in, but you'll get like 10 to 15% that are kind of fuzzy for a second, and then they'll pop back in.
Interesting.
You can tell that they, like, if you want the creme de la creme visual experience, you're going to play it on a PS5.
Yeah, or fucking PC. Eventually.
Eventually. Just hopefully the port to PC was way better than the original.
Well, the God of War remaster port to the PC apparently is like 10 out of 10, and everyone's just having a buckload of fun because they weren't PC players. I mean, the PlayStation players.
Wow.
Lucian, let me keep it in the dark, bud, because he's like, I play fun games. I don't play this nerd shit.
That's true. He does play fun games.
Can I get a...
Grip it and rip it?
Thank you. Oh. I was sitting there for like a minute.
Awesome. You were.
God.
But yeah, we had to
seriously
to make the transition smooth.
To make it smooth.
The Kingsman. Another. Honestly.
Yeah.
I peripherally know about the Kingsman. I think I watched the first one, and I always realize I'm wrong when I tried to mesh it with.
That's the one like the Fantastic Jackson,
Gentleman or whatever that is.
Sam Jackson's the bad guy.
The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah.
For some reason,
it's because they're both classy as fuck.
It's just in my brain.
Your brain organizes things based
everyone's
on
everyone's Sean Connery to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why. But
so I wanted to talk about The King's Man, which is the new one that came out like last Christmas, I think.
Can you hand me another one?
Yeah, I'll get you another Schmitz. This one came out last year, but it just came out on like HBO, Hulu, and some other streaming service. And I had loved the first one, controversially hated, and also loved the second one. So I was like, I got to check this one out. It's the origin story. Yeah. It was the Kingsman, the Golden Circle.
Oh.
And Elton John was in it, and like a couple other actors. It was okay. It was like your standard sequel movie to a spy movie. Yeah. Like, if you're a James Bond fan, I know you are, Dustin. Like, it was not your Golden Eye.
It was
your Octopussy.
Oh, that's right? Cool. Okay.
It was like the obscure one with the weird villain in a weird narrative with a weird fucking like place. And it played, but at the same time it just wasn't a good movie. Like when you're watching the first one, you're like, "Oh man, the second one's going to be great." And then you like the villain and you kind of, but then the way it ends, you're like, "Wow, this was just them trying to replicate the first movie when they should have been trying to like move forward." Yeah. So when this new one came out, it was like, "It's the origin of how the Kingsmen started as an organization." I was like, I don't know.
That seems like the classic play.
I was like, yeah, it was a very good play, but at first I was like, I don't know how to feel about it, and then the trailers came out, and they were like, ooh, Rasputin's in it. And I was like, okay, I'm a really big fan of Rasputin as a fucking person and his, like, story and the things that happened. Very curious stories.
You should rephrase that.
Hmm.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't say you're a fan of Rasputin.
I'm a fan of the stories behind the history and how he changed history.
It's a gotcha.
Not a fan
gotcha.
Of the man.
No,
I
gotcha, gotcha, gotcha.
It's no, a, I know it's, what it's you like mean. You know how people study like weird mean. Shit or like serial killers
I'm not
and stuff.
A
it's
fan
not like
of Ed Gein, but I'm fascinated.
Exactly. It's yeah. not like I, it's, exactly. Yeah. It's,
we just don't want to get canceled.
Hey, if we were gonna get canceled, it no, could have happened any time in the last 5 years, dude. Trust me. But yeah, you know what I mean. I've been fascinated by the story of Rasputin for a long time, so I was like, ooh, that's the villain. And you watch the movie, 100%. And it's not. And I was like, okay, this is kind of disappointing, because in the first third of the movie, Rasputin dies. And I'm like, fuck, spoilers. Of course, you guys, I'm sorry, you know the Weekly Geekly spoil everything except for Zach's reviews, apparently. Fucking asshole.
I was like, that was good.
God damn it, he kept that airtight.
That was good.
So I'm sorry if you don't want to know, turn this off, come back, listen to it when you get done, and you'll get a decompress and kind of maybe get another opinion on the movie. But I thought it was great. It was a good addition to the franchise of the Kingsman. But it just felt weird. It didn't fit. It was set in World War One. It was how World War One happened. and all the catalysts behind that. How Rasputin died. All that shit. Mm-hmm. And what I liked about that is they stuck loosely to the narrative.
Too much blood went to his 14-inch penis.
No, he was poisoned. He was clubbed. And beaten, stabbed,
thrown in a river.
They drowned him. Then he came back to life, mm-hmm. and then they shot him in the head.
Like, yeah, no, he was.
A lot of people took to kill this dude, and so they did that. But it was the Kingsmen that did it instead of all these aristocrats. So it was kind of funny that they bended history that way. And even how World War One started, it was like these three cousins that were all like, it was the Tsar of Russia, the King of England, and then the German
Chancellor,
whatever they call
like,
it. Yeah,
Franz Ferdinand was like the start of World War One.
Yeah, and then he died, and then the leader of Germany was freaking out, and they're all starting this war. And what I liked about it is they gave a person, they kind of gave a person behind who started World War One. Like, you remember, did you ever see Sherlock Holmes, the Robert Downey Jr. movies?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did see those.
Did you see the second one? The Game of Shadows.
Didn't see that one.
With Moriarty, Professor Moriarty.
I saw the first one.
He was the
one
that, like, caused World War One, essentially, and started all that shit. So it's cool that they also did this in the same time frame.
I do like those historical plays. Like, that's pretty cool, because, like I said, I mean, I played enough Battlefield 1 to know how World War One went.
Yeah, and, like, the first two didn't do that at all. It was completely an isolated story in the present.
Yeah.
So to see them go back in their origin, be kind of a history fan fiction spoof thing.
That's really cool, though.
I was really excited for that, and I think they played it really well. The Rasputin thing was cool. At first, I was kind of let down that it would happen so early, but the way they play it, it's a kid and his son, or it's a guy and his son, and the guy's like a duke, very well known, and like been training his son since he was a child. This kid is like 18 and wants to join the British military, but his dad won't let him.
Right.
Because his dad's got all this PTSD from killing people, obviously.
Sure.
So eventually he joins the war, and
his dad gripped it and ripped it.
He gripped it and ripped it.
I was
going to
get the
hard.
World to fly. Good job.
And his dad, get this, the guy who plays his dad who starts the Kingsman is Voldemort. From
like,
Harry Potter.
The actor.
Yeah.
I thought you were like, wait a minute, Voldemort's in this movie?
This is also in the Harry Potter universe.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, I'm going to watch now.
So like the whole time, there was one scene where he stuck a sword.
No, I love that actor.
He stuck
so
a sword
good.
In Rasputin, and he was going, whoa! And like, I just saw that scene where he was yelling at Harry Potter with the wand.
Full
and
circle,
like,
he's also Q in James Bond, I believe. Not Q, M. Not M. Fucking, he's one of them.
Get it right.
They're all letters.
One of the letters.
Seven. Seven H.
Well, but he's the... He's not Q. He's the guy that like. Oh no, he is the new M because the lady that was M died.
Yeah, she was killed
Q
in one of the movies.
L.
Get it right.
Yeah. It's not Money Penny. It's not Octopussy. It's not Jaws. It's not Odd Job. It's not Who Threw a Muffin. It's none of that.
I just killed Brandon's ears.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Who throws a shoe?
Who throws a shoe? Honestly, really hurt. I'm gonna have a lump there, you idiot.
Quick offshoot. There is no reason. Odd Job was not a short man. Like in the movie, he Odd wasn't job. Even much shorter
Stop.
Than he was like as tall as most of the people around him.
The hey, only, you wanna like, know the sad truth about the guy who played Odd Job? Turned out to be like a fucking pedophile or a rapist or some shit.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw a special on him.
So was Roman Polanski, I don't know.
It's horrible.
Fucking
anyway, so this movie
So Kingsman.
So Kingsman. I honestly, out of the other two, it's not my
Woody
favorite.
Allen Meredith stepped down.
It's probably my least favorite, to be honest, and that is not a great review. But I love this franchise so much that even saying it's my third favorite out of three isn't even an insult. You know what I mean?
No,
so, it's still a cut above the rest of most spy movies.
If things are good, then it doesn't. You can't. You have to. Everything's subjective. It's on
yeah.
scale. So.
And they the way they kind of do it and who ends up being the bad guy and what happens is really kind of creative. And it's a secret society kind of thing, and I'm a real big fan of secret society narratives.
Dude,
so,
I love that
oh,
shit.
It's the dad.
It played really well.
The dad's the bad guy.
No. And the main guy calls himself the shepherd, and everyone has like a different animal on their ring, and he's like their shepherd and shit.
Okay.
Really cool hideout, though. Really cool fight scene. Like, it played into the spy. I'll say this about Kingsman movies. If you're a fan of James Bond, if you're a fan of Austin Powers, any of the spy kind of shit.
Did you say Mission Impossible?
Yeah, even okay, Mission sure. Impossible. You will.
No, that's all very much Hitman.
You will appreciate exactly. the villains in Kingsman movies,
oh.
and the every aesthetic and thing they pull through for the bad guy is classic James Bond Austin Powers, like
yeah.
chic. And the first one had that, like, remember the villains' lair was all like lava rock and silver doors, kind of
yeah,
like
sure.
it'd be in Austin Powers.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the second one was all like tropical with like 50s diner aesthetic. This one's really kind of its own thing, but I don't know, man. I thought it was a beautiful movie, really well done, but I just didn't think I loved it.
Yeah.
But if you're a Kingsman fan, you kind of have to watch it. It's like a prerequisite now for future
yeah.
content, and I think that they should keep making Kingsman movies. Brandon, what have you seen this one?
No, I haven't. I just wanted to know, did they explain like the suits? Because I remember I've seen the first one. So,
oh, the
like,
bulletproof suits?
The bulletproof suits, like the umbrella.
They don't. That's another complaint that I actually had was they thing. Explain like one or two things. Like
okay.
he makes the whole shoe dagger thing.
Yeah.
Because he has to climb up ice, and like it makes sense. But it's
okay.
not like it's a gadget. He just put a knife through a shoe.
Okay.
And then there's like one or two other things I can't remember. But they didn't do the umbrella. They didn't do any of the futuristic tech yet because it was, you know, early
yeah.
1900s. They didn't
yeah.
have that.
Sure.
But the one thing I did think was cool was they established that the Kingsman has a international network of people that get information from them, and they employ all the maids and like cooks and service people for all these different branches of government and all the rich people. And they just spy on them and give them information. So that's how they're like their own independent agency. I'm like, dude, that's fucking genius.
That's wild.
Like the fact that they're employing people that like want to fuck over these people and be like, yeah, let's fucking change the world. And
yeah.
they'll never know it's me.
Yeah.
I love
they
that.
They look like everyday laymen.
Yeah.
Like, that's
like maids and shit would be like, yeah, I'm spying
favorite
on them. Yeah.
Actually, that's something I'm probably going to watch this movie soon too. I mean, both of you guys can make the reviews.
Have you seen
the
other Kingsman movies?
Yeah, I saw the first one.
Did you see the second one?
No.
Okay,
do I need to watch them in order?
It's not necessary, but I think here's what I'm gonna say: if you want to really enjoy this one, you gotta watch the second one and
okay.
the first one.
I've seen the first one. I'm gonna probably revisit them all.
And
because
if you
my
guys
favorite thing is like again, like things hiding in plain sight.
Sure.
Or like I mean, fucking like the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, the like
mm-hmm.
older Harry Potter one. Like, there's a point where he's like running around and he's like about to get like fucked over. Like real people are starting to see all this like the Muggle magic. They're like, oh, like he is running from a bunch of people. He just like dips around the corner. There's a homeless guy and just like gives him like 10 cents and like
yeah.
hides under a blanket. And they're like transport away. And it's like almost all the homeless people you see are acting crazy on purpose because it's a front.
Yeah.
And they're like working for this magical wizardry thing. They're like, they're supposed to be shunned from society so that we can be like,
I love that
safe
kind of stuff
for small.
Yeah,
things.
Or like
that.
The Ministry
yeah.
of Magic. Like
yeah, they did.
The Ministry of Magic was like through toilets.
That
like
too.
Weird shit like that.
Same fucking shit.
Yeah.
yeah.
But
the toilets,
this
yeah,
movie
I mean,
has that kind of a charm to it. So I think
I
if you
that.
Like the first one, which if you've watched it and you don't like it, I'm sorry, but you're wrong. Taste is not subjective. Like, it's such a good movie. You need to watch Kingsman, and then we have a review out of Kingsman and Kingsman 2. So go back, listen to those, and I think you'll get a good kind of steady understanding of what we think and like maybe some cool ideas about the movie that maybe you didn't think of. But this movie was, I think, a cut above the rest for most sequels. Like, if we're thinking in terms of spy franchises, Kingsman right now is in my top two. Maybe my top three. I don't know. It's like Austin Powers, James Bond, Kingsman. but it's like toggling right now. I think this movie kind of put them in a point where they could make new movies.
What's difficult is to know how popular they're going to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like with James Bond, for example, just because like they don't say like James Bond 1, James Bond 2. Yeah. There's none of that. It's sure. just like, here's this Casino Royale experience. Here's the Moonraker experience.
Right, and
here's
they don't this. Do that with Kingsman either. It's just Kingsman this. And
that's yeah. why I think that this is, it's the fucking balls, like yeah. the cojones, to just be like, oh, this is going to be good, and we're going to make more of these. And
right.
so instead of being like, here's number one, then here's number two, and there's nothing wrong with telling a story mm-hmm. and being chromatic, but instead of doing that, creating a universe and explaining theories and, like you said, influencing history and just being like, in this universe, this is how this happened.
Yeah.
Just, like I said, just the confidence to be able to say, I'm going to make multiples of these and we're going to do it well. And that each one of them is going to hold their own weight. And mm-hmm. this is the universe we live in.
And not live off the other ones. Yeah. Exactly. Do you know why this is going to keep moving as well? Because this is a Mark Millar comic book. Hmm. If you guys don't know who that is, if you've seen the movie Wanted, that's one of his comic books. If you've seen any of the Kick-Ass movies, that's his franchise as well. So is this one. So is Jupiter's Legacy from Netflix. Yeah. And I think he has one other one that made it to like
I don't
HBO.
Think Jupiter's Legacy really lasted.
It didn't do well because it wasn't really the story wasn't meant to be what they made it. I don't think if you read the books, you'll actually kind of enjoy it more than what they did.
Can we just give a moment to appreciate that HBO has given us the greatest TV cinema? All time. Can we just take a moment and acknowledge that HBO has made the greatest TV that we have?
Because like those HBO shows actually have stories. It's not just like.
I wasn't even a big fan of Game of Thrones, but
it's
undeniable.
Sitcoms. Yeah.
The Sopranos is the best thing that's ever been aired. The Wire, wild.
Yeah.
Like fucking. I have been sitting back down and watching all of Entourage again and getting a nice early brah feel from 2000-something.
Yeah.
Feels good, man.
Hell
like,
yeah.
And that's just like scratching. That's like naming like the top five. We haven't even gotten into the fucking the L word. Mm. Like 6 feet under. Oh,
yeah.
Get out of here.
But like that's kind
of. Real Sex 29.
Not to like drag you back.
Not that part of HBO.
But like that's the feeling I get from these Kingsman movies.
Yeah.
It's like nostalgia in itself. And. Everything's so big and dramatic and like I don't know, man. It's like watching a Star Wars movie. You know when you watch a Star Wars movie, you know they're going to have that same kind of like transition and like zoom into a planet with a ship. You know, it's like everything's big and crazy and theatrical.
It's what you come to expect. It's the consistency the audience loves, but here's a new story.
Yeah. And this franchise owns that in a way that is both smart and funny, but is still dramatic. And I think that's kind of rare nowadays. You can't find that very often in stories. It's like they'll try to be funny and it's forced, but they're really good at drama. And then they stick to drama most of the time. And these guys balance both really well. There's just – and I think they played the whole time frame really well as far as being in the early 1900s. Like he introduced them to a parachute. And he was telling this guy, like, you have to jump out of this plane. And he's like, dude, I'm not fucking doing this. Like I will kill 13 guys for you. Like I'm not jumping out of a plane. And just like funny, stupid shit like
all
that.
The time.
No, at this point, it had never been done before. It was like the first parachute ever invented. And he's like, I'm not fucking doing this. And like, it was great. So if you've never seen Kingsman, honestly, I'll say this. If you've never seen any of the movies, this would be a good one to start on because it's the origin of the organization, how it came to be, why it came to be. And it's.
And go 1-2 after that?
And then go 1-2. But if you've seen the first one, and you haven't seen the second one yet, watch that and then watch this.
I'll probably
and you'll
go 3,
appreciate
1,
it more.
2, just because it's been so long.
Right. It would make sense. So yeah, love Kingsman. I would probably give it this one 8 out of 10 gold cufflinks. I think that's pretty fair. It's not a great movie, but it's still a cut above most movies for me.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Well, I mean, like, that was high praise because most things end up like most things on the show, as they should, end up like at a 6.5.
Yeah, they're like pretty good, but not great.
Because you can't give everything a fucking 10. And
right.
You can't everything or like sucks too.
Yeah.
Like most things, like if they have creative thought and like if you inherently don't like something.
Well,
like,
I'm a little biased though. I'm a little biased because this whole franchise is in the top 3 of 10 for me.
Well, still does it, but that's again that's you. And like I honestly that sounds like kind of right up my alley because exactly like if I can. All the James Bond stuff, all like the back. I love Tom Clancy books, like, from back in the day. I love reading, like, before they made all the games, like Rainbow Six and Counter-Strike. I like reading those books. Like, the... okay, what's the fucking author that wrote The Firm?
Hmm.
Oh, God. What's that guy's... What's that author's name?
Is it Crichton?
Yeah, Michael Crichton.
Michael Crichton.
Michael Crichton.
Yeah, yeah. I've read a bunch of his books, and it's just, like, things that, like, you get the payoff at the end where, like, you get a shitload of details constantly. And you feel like you have everything, but you don't. And at the end, there's a payoff, and then you see all these fucking parts move together, and like things have been right in front of your face. That shit, I love.
This is right up that alley. You'd like it,
because and it's hiding in plain society.
Yep, cool. Yep, that kind of a thing. And I don't know. I would recommend anyone to it if you're action, comedy, any kind of stuff like that. They're all different in their own right, too. The action from one is not the action in two. The action from two is not the action in three. They're all very different kinds of stories. So I'm excited to see where this franchise goes. I'm excited that we got to cover all three of the movies so far. That's fun for me, and I can't wait to see what we're doing next. I think we're probably going to jump a little bit back into hyper-violent pop comedy.
I like it.
I have a couple more movies that might apply to that genre. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
get some more movie reviews. There's fucking, like, for some reason, the reason why I did a video game review right now is because usually they used to drop all of the, like, it used to be like, you know, spring and fall sweeps. Where's the sweep season for TV? And I'm like, now video games seem to be like this right now, for some reason. There's, it used to only be right before Christmas because that was when video games were that, like, when they were starting their popularity and their rise, it made the most sense to try and sell them,
right?
Now, as such a strong medium, like, dude, yeah, there's, oh, you're fucking right. But, like, there's so many things in all sorts of media and all sorts of entertainment. Like, kind of doesn't matter when you release them. And, like, they're starting to.
Yeah, anymore.
I think that's pretty cool because, like, I've noticed it specifically in video games as a fan, but also, like, as the main example of it, as something that was moderately counterculture and now is, like, pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, movies, even, like I said, used to release in certain points. Like, obviously, if you're a scary movie, you want to release around Halloween. But, like, and Saw has always taken, like, the we release on Halloween thing. But you would release, like, in the summer is, like, that's a shitty movie because everybody else already has stuff to do. You don't release movies in the summer.
Right.
Well, now people do. Like, people do, and you don't give a fuck. Like, sweep season has changed.
Yeah.
Like, beyond that, I just think, like, we don't know what we're reviewing, and that's why it's so fun to do this fucking show.
Mm-hmm.
Because instead of being like, all right, here comes Emmy season, now we watch the Golden Globe, like, we're not...
Yeah, it's all passion-based. No. It's like, what are you into right now?
And it doesn't matter what time of fucking year it is, because there's fantastic video games coming out in the spring and the fall. There's movies coming out all year round now on VOD and major wide releases worldwide. Weekend by weekend, essentially, it doesn't have to wait for the winter. It doesn't have to wait for when.
Well, and like we've always made it a point that we're gonna do current stuff. Like if Batman's coming out like tonight, right?
Right.
We're gonna review Batman. I plan on doing that by next week, by next episode that comes out. I want that to be Batman. So if we could all go see it before then, let's try to schedule that. I really want to make that a priority. But we also don't try to do every episode on a time frame. There's been times where, like, when Endgame came out, we waited a while. We didn't do it in the first 2 weeks. We're like, let's let people see it and not spoil it because we spoil everything.
Right.
But it's good to stick to a schedule. We also, so if you guys didn't know, we also have Instagram. We have other social medias. We got other platforms.
We're on everything.
But we ask that if you want to have any, I guess, decision weight in what happens on the show, go follow us on Instagram at The Weekly Geekly. Brandon, our lovely intern, is actually putting up a bunch of polls right now. And you've done a lot right now. You've done like what, like 20 polls?
Yeah. So it's kind of, I just kind of want to get the feel of what you guys want us to talk about.
Yeah.
Even I mean, those polls, those polls are how we know that you want us to do a whole 2-season review of Euphoria.
We know you guys love it.
Even though I love it, I know it's not what to talk about.
Right, and that's cool. And we like learning what you guys like. And obviously, we've learned that by looking at who's listening to what as well throughout the last 5 years.
And we learned just as much by what you don't want to here.
Yeah, but who knows? Maybe there's something that you can turn the tide on, and maybe we don't even like it, and you guys love it, and we'll review it anyway, honestly, and give it an honest review. Mm-hmm. I'd like to get into some more
stuff.
So
we challenged ourselves with this music review stuff.
Yeah.
So we'd be like, we pick something we like, and we pick something like, let's go listen to this and just see.
Yeah, we had a listener, her name was Sam. She gave us an album to review, and I honestly, I did not like it. But I valued being able to review it and what it was.
Yeah.
I liked some parts of it, but as an album, I like was not a fan.
Go over the Dave Grohl stuff.
Yes. Yes. We've got some research to do, boys, in the next couple weeks. So expect a lot of
Dave
new stuff
Grohl
from us.
Illuminati. Got it.
Got it.
Already in Google.
Googling it. Brandon, can you Google that for us?
Is Dave Grohl and the Illuminati?
It'll be front page news. Well. Nah, solid shit, dudes.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I appreciate you guys for joining me tonight. I know it's been crazy lately. We've all had, like, whirlwind lives.
I've been glued to Ukrainian news.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, dude, honestly, it's a fucking... I'm not even...
You both been working. I've been
I'm not
working,
a religious dude
stuff.
Whatsoever, but it's, like, literally a fucking blessing. This is all we have to worry about.
Yeah, you know, right.
Like, in a way. Like, I said on the Twitch stream the other day, so I'm not going to get all hypey right now, but I was like, hey, like... The fact that all I have to worry about is setting up my shit and doing a Twitch stream when the week before I could have just been setting up my shit and doing a Twitch stream, and now I'm like in a food can line, like helping
right.
move supplies
yeah.
and like
we're lucky.
Carrying a nine. Like,
well, I mean,
it was coming. There's a lot of things that go into that plan. So I was like, I don't want to get into politics.
Yeah.
So I was like,
right.
It just always puts things into perspective for me. So I was like, dude, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of research to do, and I'm happy I can do it.
That kind of conflict is happening for anyone that's like super worried about that kind of stuff, where it's been like clouding their headspace. The kind of conflict that's going on over there right now is the kind of conflict that happens on a daily basis everywhere else in the world. Not everywhere, in lots of other places in the world.
It's just not so public. It's
just not covered. The reason why Ukraine is unique is because of its proximity, both geographically and politically, to much bigger powers that usually don't have any of that going on.
Right.
It's not that the conflict itself is some like wildly outlandish and outrageous thing that we never thought could happen. It happens all the time.
100%.
Syria, or it's been happening in Syria.
Yeah, we've been doing it in Syria. It's
Saudi
all
Arabia
Syria.
Is currently doing it to Yemen, like the exact same thing, just on different.
There's missiles over the Gaza Strip every day.
Yeah, I mean, like this stuff happens on a daily basis. The only reason Ukraine is unique is because of where it is geographically and politically.
It's tough.
So like, don't lose too much. Like 1 week, like reserve 1 week of sleep to lose, and you'll be fine.
It's serious, but yeah, no, I agree. Like, it's not something that you can kill yourself over, kind of thing. Like, if you beat yourself up, like, it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, just send positive thoughts. That's all you can do, man.
Yep.
And this has been your Political Minute with Zach.
So, yeah, no, I think
the internet,
we have a lot to be grateful for. And we're grateful for you guys. Thank you for tuning in for another episode. We love you. We love you so much. If you haven't so far, go to SYN Nation. That's Sin Nation. .net and /TWG. Leave us some mail. Leave us some hate mail. Leave us some love. Give us some comments. Let us know what you think. How's your day? What do you do when you listen to us? I'm so curious.
Actually,
I want to know.
That's a pretty good question.
I want to know what you do.
Pictures of what you
yeah,
do.
Don't send us pictures
no,
of what
please
you do.
Describe
what you're
my
doing.
Email at.
Oh God. I thought about once giving out my phone number on the show.
Nah, don't do it.
That's I kind of want to do it though.
But I think
like,
you did it once.
Like I kind of want to
no,
do
I
it.
No, I think you did it once.
Did I?
I think you did.
Yeah.
Maybe I should do it again.
If you go back and you like really drag.
If they're still here, go ahead.
Yeah. All right, text me. Don't call me. All right, I'm not going to answer a call from a number I don't know. 402-880-8396. Brandon, stop the recording.